Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this day, and Lord, we ask now that you bless us in a special way. Bless these, your people. Bless this pastor. Bless our visiting pastors. Bless this leadership. Now, Lord, we ask you to speak. You preach. Because if you don't preach, there'll be no preaching. Make Davis behave. And let it be according to your power. Help us to hear and become doers. And bless your people everywhere. Continue to save the lost. Now, Father, we will be careful to give you the glory and praise in all that we do. Now speak. Preach. Teach. In Jesus' name. Amen. We give our profound reverence to our Lord and to our God again, to this beloved pastor, Pastor Rigby, who I have known for a number of years. I met him at another great preacher's house of worship. One of my dearest friends, Pastor Larry Weathers. And I would be remiss if I did not recognize our visiting pastor and ministers, and I thank God for their ministry, the leadership of this church, and to First Ladies. I like to use that term now. There was a time when I would just say pastor's wives, but I think pastor's wives ought to be referred to as First Ladies, because they're the first to keep us in line. And I am so grateful for the privilege to come and to share this week in these services, and the hospitality shown, just everything you've done here at this marvelous ministry. And I think that God is just starting to bless this True Believers Worship Center. Now, I will preach as the Lord give utterance, and I have a tendency to get happy fairly early in the message, because I'm just permeated with the word, and I stay in it all the time. And I do want to do what I have been assigned to do, and that is to preach today, and if the Lord delays coming on tomorrow night. Now, what I need from you is an amen every now and then. And I believe that this is a worshiping church. And were we not blessed by the mime ministry, the lecture, and all that's going on here today? We have already been blessed. I believe in renewal services. I believe that a church ought to do them as often as they are needed. At our church, we have gone to once a month. And it is because the saints become weary. I don't believe the saint can die spiritually. But as Pastor Weathers said earlier, we can backslide. We can dry up. And we need refreshing, renewal. And so when we think about restoring, restoration, God specializes in restoring folk. As Pastor said earlier, people like David, and even one of his greatest prophets, after witnessing a great miracle on the mountaintop, took off and started running from a woman who had her face painted. And God found him in a cave hiding out. But he can restore. He can empower. But let us not forget the byproduct of our restoration, our renewal, is regeneration.
Yeah.
We ought to be able to go out and tell somebody,
yes,
that there is a God,
is God
who can save from the guttermost,
yes,
to the uttermost. And so today I want to just stay in line with what Pastor has been led to do here, and just stay in line with the Holy Spirit and carry out my assignment. And I want to just read from the King James, old reliable King James. Psalms 66, and I'll read verses 10 through 12 for your hearing. Psalms 66, verses 10 through 12. I'll be dealing with most of the latter part of the Psalms as well. But here is what it says. For thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. Thou broughtest us into the net. Thou laidest affliction upon our loins. Thou hast caused me to ride over men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. You may be seated. I've been led to answer the rhetorical question for you today: why you're going through what you're going through. You ought to help me. You ought to help me right here. Why don't you just turn to that person next to you and tell them, you might not look like it, but you're going through something. I'm not one of those who play the super saint. I have downtime like everybody else. And I ask the question, as most ask, Lord, why do I have to deal with so much? Why are you going through what you're going through? I like this psalm because most of us have wondered at the reasons, the purposes. We've wondered why. What is his purpose in allowing us to go through so much? And I'm not here to address the reasons why. Sometimes we're where we are because of our disobedience. And some folk are like Job. The Lord just give you up. You hadn't done anything. He'll just give you up. So testing is, it comes. And so our question, I question this thing sometimes, and I know that you question it sometimes, especially when it comes to specific trials and these specific tests that are directed toward us. You know, we have to ask, have you ever wondered? Just wondered. Now, I know I'm not going to get anybody to admit it because you got to show up on Sunday and look brave. You got to look strong. But have you ever wondered why there's so much confusion in the world? Have you ever wondered why Many people are breaking and shooting folk and losing their minds and killing folk on school campuses. Have you ever wondered why our schools are on lockdown more often than they used to be? Have you ever wondered why many homes are being blown apart? Have you ever wondered why so many folk are sick? Back when we were growing up, people would get sick, they just make some pine straw tea and get well the next day. They eat all the pork they wanted to eat and never have high blood pressure. Do I have anybody here? But there seems to be something wrong in our world today, and we're going through so much that Christians are starting to lose hope. That's why we have restoration services, renewal services. Because I believe that when we say revival, there are in the Old Testament that term God had to bring the children of Israel back to life, because the Holy Spirit was not poured out on all flesh in the Old Testament. So I think that revival is a term that belongs to the Old Testament, and in this dispensation it belongs to the lost. So they need to be quickened. They need to be brought back alive. And every time the children of Israel would disobey God, then there would be a prophet calling for revival. But in the church, those of us who are saved ought to understand that God told us that his spirit would be poured out. It was poured out on all flesh on the day of Pentecost. And every child of God has the Holy Spirit within them. He has set up resident in our hearts, so we don't have to look for him in the third heaven or in the sky. He is already here. He told us it was going to be like this. Many relationships, not only homes being broken up, but many relationships are being shattered. And I don't understand how we could be friends with somebody and then still think we can pray when we get mad with them. The Bible said, don't let sun go down on your anger. I heard somebody say the other day, you know, it's bad to go to bed angry with somebody. It's bad to go to bed. You can't sleep. You can't rest. Toss and turn all night long. Wonder why so much is going on with God's people. Well, why are you going through what you're going through? I think we all have to wonder sometimes why so many things are happening. And it seems as if they're taking place all at once. I took a week off from listening to the news. I wouldn't even listen to it. I wouldn't read a paper. I wouldn't listen to the news because it had depressed me so. I said, let me just stick with the Lord and make sure that I have the hope that I need to cope with all that's going on. And so that's the reason why I think that the Lord allows this to happen. And every child of God, every Christian, must understand that God has a purpose in testing. He has a purpose in all that he allows. And in the text, the psalmist helps us clearly understand why we're going through what we're going through. J.C. Brumfield rightly contends in a little booklet that he wrote, he says this, and I quote, "From the beginning of time, fire and water have been two of humanity's most essential needs." He goes on to say that we cannot live without them, fire and water, but they can be turned into our worst enemies. Stay in the fire too long, you'll burn up. Go in the water and can't swim, you'll drown. Do I have anybody here? Y'all come on here. Somebody ought to praise him today. There's nothing more dangerous than fire and water. And in describing the trials of the saints of God, the psalmist uses these terms. We went through the fire and through the water. But thou, the Lord God, brought us out into a wealthy place. So the Lord had brought the Hebrews through the fire of 400 years of slavery in Egypt. The Lord had brought the Hebrews through the waters of the Red Sea and the Jordan River. And I think you ought to start seeing it a little bit better, a little clearer now. I think I've got somebody in here to see where I'm headed. See, God has a divine method in trying us and testing us. And that method is fire and water. The psalmist tells us that God tried them as silver is tried. That's verse 10. That means that we are refined as we go through our testing, our trials, our tribulations. God is refining us. The psalmist also says that God allows these tests, and he allows sometimes for us to be caught in nets and snares. He'll let you become prey every now and then. Anybody in here ever been used? Have you ever been used? I mean, really used, misused, and abused? You know Junebug and ain't Eminem that's always trying to borrow. Have you ever been used? They'll borrow till you tell them no, then they'll get mad with you, won't speak to you no more. Have you ever been misused and abused? And that been caught in a snare, been caught in a trap. And everybody, every now and then we get caught in traps. We get caught in snares. Do you know everything that shines ain't gold? Every person who can articulate got a game that they can run on you. They can smooth talkers. You understand that, don't you, sisters? He's smooth and he'll take you to dinner. He'll treat you like a lady. You can't see nothing coming out of him but good. But he don't have a job. He eat up a half a pound of bacon in the morning. Do I have any witnesses here? The psalmist says that God allowed heavy burdens to fall on their backs. God allowed others to rule over them. So we are tested by fire and we're tested by water. And every now and then, I need to tell you, our tests can be severe. There's nothing like going to the doctor when you've had good health all your life. Then the tests show that you have diabetes or have some other ailment. But I thank the Lord knows what he's doing because he has a divine method. But then there is also a divine motive. What he wants to do through the fire that we experience in life and through the water that we have to go through in life. He has a divine motive because his ultimate goal is to purge us and to purify us. Job, I like Job. Job compared his affliction to being cast in a furnace. Job said, when he had tried me, when he had tried me, I said, when he had tried me, I don't know how he came up with that. If I had to go through what Job went through, I don't know if I could have come up with these words. I don't know if my faith would have been elevated enough to say, when he had tried me, I shall come forth. Now that's good news right there. That's shouting stuff. You ought to be able to say it if you know you've been blood bought, if you know you've been born again, if you know you belong to him. You ought to be able to say, when he has tried me, I shall come forth. I shall come forth as gold. See, it's one thing to testify after you have passed through the fire. One thing to testify after you pass through the water. It's another thing to testify when you've come through your little problems in life. But Job was still in the fire. When he declared, listen to it one more time. When he declared he was still in the fire, still in the water. The heat was on. His balls were shooting flashes of pain throughout his body. His fever parched his lips. He had to scratch his bars with broken pieces of pottery. His head throbbed with pain. And then on top of all of that, his friends came around and falsely accused him. At least I become too happy here. I've got to tell you before I take my seat. He was still able to say, the Lord will bring me through. I need to tell you that we're not going through what we're going through because it's God's divine method. Not going through it simply because of the fire and the water analogy that he uses in the text for our tests and our trials. We're not going through it simply because his motive is to purge us and to purify us. But God has a divine objective. And his objective is to lead us into his righteousness. To make us right. To make us right with him and for him. We don't like talking about righteousness. But I want you to know that when it comes to our righteousness, while we are all precious to him. Our righteousness, Davis's righteousness, is nothing but filthy rags before him. That's why you and I, we need him to impart his righteousness unto us. And so when we understand that God has a divine objective, he uses the test by fire and the test by water to purge us, to mold us, and to make us right with him. I don't understand why so many of us who used to sing in the choir have decided to take a seat in the pew because we got mad with the director because he wouldn't let us lead a song. And many of us will not take under consideration that while you might be pretty good background singer, you may not be cut out and called by God to lead a song. Do I have anybody here? Some of us ought to be grateful just be in the choir. Because many of us are just lip singing anyway. Because if we really did try to sing, we'd throw everybody else off. That's why the psalmist in the text, I love this because we've got a lot of preachers who started, but they did not stick with it. When they ran into a little difficulty, they decided to retire. We have a lot of former deacons who just got tired of the trouble that they had to encounter. But my grandmama used to tell me, boy, stay with it. Because trouble don't last always. And I think she was in line with the text. Because the same God that called you started something in you. And he promised to complete what he started. Job saw himself as gold while he was still in the furnace. David saw himself as a child of God. And that's why he could pray and ask for forgiveness in Psalms 51. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried. And the psalmist says, even though I'm going through what I'm going through, I'ma praise the Lord anyhow. He says, I'll go into the house with burnt offerings, and I will I pay thee my vows, and with my lips have I uttered, and my mouth has spoken. And I spoke those praises when I was still in trouble. And my question to you today, while you're going through what you're going through, you don't know how long it's going to last, but you ought to praise him anyhow. Do I have anybody here? And I like what Malachi said when he linked both the metals together. He says, while we're going through what we're going through, he says, he shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver and purge them as gold and silver. Why is the refiner doing that? So that we might offer unto the Lord an offering of righteousness and an offering of praise. I close when I tell you all this, because I'm Mississippi happy now. Do you know that the Lord will not let you be submerged while you're going through the waters? Do you know that he will not let you be consumed while you're going through the fire? Because he is the refiner. Do I have anybody here? I heard a little while ago that the refiner, he sits by the fire. And while the gold is in the pot, while the silver is in the pot, he turned the fire on. Do I have one witness here? But he's sitting by the fire. He's controlling the fire. And every now and then he stands up and look in the pot. He knows when he need to turn the heat down, and he knows when he need to turn the heat up. That's why you're going through, because the Lord is purging us. Do I have anybody here that remember the three Hebrew boys? They were cast into the fiery furnace. They were bound. They had their clothes on. They were in the furnace. And when they threw them in, I heard somebody say, did not we throw three men in? But now I see a fourth man. And the fourth man looks like the Son of God. Anybody here know that he'll walk with you, and he'll talk with you, he'll comfort you in the midnight hour? He's a midnight rider. He's a leaning post. Yes, he is. And when the boys came out, guess what happened? The bound or the chain that had them bound had been burnt loose. Do I have one witness here? Their clothes didn't smell like fire. So whatever you're going through, all the Lord is doing, the refiner, he's burning off your shackles. He's burning off your pride. He's burning off your doubt. He's burning of your misgivings. He's burning of your lack of faith. He's burning of your anger. Anybody here know that the Lord showed us that you have to go through. And that's the key word. I'm a close right here. Because my soul do it magnify the Lord. Yes. You know how we learn? There's one word in the whole text. First he tells us that we gotta go through the water on dry land. And we're also told that we have to go through the fire and we won't be burned up. But then he says this, the Lord brought us through. So when you see through, stay right there. I'm into something right now. That's why I'm going through. But the Lord has promised that he's gonna bring me out. When I can't walk, he'll carry me. Anybody here love the Lord? When I can't talk, he'll talk for me. Because all he's doing is bringing me in to his righteousness. He want me to walk like him. He want me to talk like him. He want me to act like him. Yes, he does. Somebody say, how you know? He was the example. He was the example. He went through the fire. He went through the waters. Yes. But the Lord, our Father in heaven, the Lord brought him out. He went to Calvary. He died. Yes, he did. Do you know him? I said he died, but he didn't stay dead. He rose on Sunday morning with all power in his hand. I gotta leave here, y'all. But there's one more thing. If you ask the refiner, how do you know when to turn the fire off? How do you know when your child has been purified? How do you know that you got everything out? The refiner will tell you, I know, because I keep getting up, looking in the pot. I look in the pot, and I look in the pot. I look in the pot on day one. I look in the pot on month one. I look in the pot on year one. I look in the pot all of their lives. From the day they were saved to the day I come back, I'm looking in the pot. And when I see my reflection in the pot, then I know it's ready. Anybody here know that he is conforming us into the image of his son? Yes. I said, yeah. Yes, Lord. Use me. I said, use me in your service. I'm sometimes up. I'm sometimes down. But one thing I know, he's not through with me yet. Soon and very soon, he'll see his reflection in my pot. And when he sees it, he told me, some glad moment when this life is over. Yeah, I said, yeah, I will fly away and be at rest. Somebody ought to shout hallelujah. Somebody ought to shout, since I laid my burden down, glory, 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 hallelujah. I said I shall turn to your neighbor. Tell your neighbor, we shall, when he gets through with us, we shall come forth as pure gold. Yeah, now Now, beloved, now that we are the sons and daughters of God, it does not yet appear what we shall be. But one thing I know, one thing you ought to know, when he shall appear, we shall come forth. We shall be just like him and know him as he is. Yes, I said yes. Good evening, y'all. But he's been good to me as he brought you from a mighty long way, as he brought you through many dangers, toils, and snares. I said, I have already come. And if he brought you this far, he didn't bring you here to leave you now. I gotta go, y'all. I gotta leave y'all. Good evening. But he is my way maker. He is my bread.